In the introit of the Mass this morning, we sang, "My heart hath said to thee, I have sought thy face, O Lord. Thy face, O Lord, I will seek. Turn not away thy face from me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did you notice it? Today's Mass has a bit of Good Friday about it. Leave-taking, loss, persecution, even. Our Lord goes home to heaven, and we will see him no more, and it will not always be easy for us here below. What the apostles experienced with our Lord's departure, but really more for his passion than for his ascension, because Scripture says they came back from Ascension Thursday filled with joy. But what the apostles went through at Holy Week, so must we, at least some weeks of many years of our life, for God and also for man. In a word, in our lives, there will always be those dear to us whom we will miss terribly because of some separation, occasioned maybe by distance, differences, misunderstandings, sometimes things that are understood all too well. And of course, ultimately comes death. But the growing away from a friendship, there's that too with the changes of life. But what a sweet tribute it is, I think, to the depths of love that sometimes we do go on sorrowing in some sense. You see that in families when there's a loss or separation. You see it too between friends. We remember sometimes we indulge ourselves the old days, and we're grateful for a sympathetic ear that will enable us to reminisce with them. At first, when such a loss occurs, there's always a sharp, almost a disorienting pain and confusion of mind and soul and emotions. In time, for most people, that sharp sadness, the pain of loss, that subsides. Life is merciful. God is good. Other joys and other sorrows await us. But the moment of the loss is sometimes terrible. I think of Padre Pio. Imagine Padre Pio. He bore the wounds of the Savior. His Mass was a reenactment of the Passion in his own flesh and spirit. He bilocated. He read souls for hours at a time in the confessional, and he battled the devil each night in his own flesh. And yet he was so upset when his mother died that he had to take to the bed for a few days. And a week after the death of his father, someone, it was a mistake, tried to cheer him up, and he answered in a whisper, "I have lost my father." And he walked away, as though that should say it all. This sense of loss, sadness with it, unexpected at times, and unexplained as well, kind of a Good Friday come to our life. That was what the parents of Jesus experienced, the 3 days' loss in the temple. That was partly how Saint Joseph participated in the passion of his son before it occurred, and that is entirely to his sanctity and to his merits in heaven today. And our Lord himself, he was the son of his parents. Think how dearly he loved his friend Lazarus and how he wept at his death, and that love was recorded by St. John in the Gospel. And then, surely a lot of our Lord's agony in the garden was because of coming separation. That horrible sense, despite it all, there would be souls who would be lost, whom Almighty God would in some sense have taken right up to his face, and they would have turned away and said, no. Judas, one of the 12, would be damned to hell. And the apostles, he turns to them because they're his friends. In his agony, and he's terribly tempted and exhausted. And they're all sleeping. They're lost to him. There's no consolation to be found with them. And later on, confusion on their part, and tears. They didn't understand his words. They flee for his passion. And then at the resurrection, they were slow to catch on because they were too natural in their affection. And there were too many tears that actually blinded their eyes. They couldn't see the truth of the resurrection. It took our Lord quite a work on Easter Sunday and throughout Easter week to convince them that he had risen from the dead by appearing to them, by speaking to them, by cajoling and correcting them, and by eating with them, and by celebrating Holy Mass in their presence. For us and for them, however, there is a solution, and that solution is prayer. There is always prayer, and with prayer, even the most distracted of prayers, comes a certain peace of the Holy Ghost and a calmness upon the heart. It opens up for us the window to eternity. I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. I'm not going to leave you orphans. That other life which is coming, we have a little taste of when we pray. Even without some sense of perfect understanding, there comes a peace, and that's a prediction of paradise, where everything will be settled and we'll be reunited again with our dear ones. St. Therese, you know, had that sense when she made her first communion. She lost her mother several years before her first communion, but she understood in prayer, imagine a girl of 12, she understood in prayer that because her mother was with God, she was a very saintly woman, her mother was with our Lord. She was part of the mystical body. And when she received our Lord's body and blood, she would be united with the mystical body as well. And therefore, her mother would be with her on her first communion day. And this was a great consolation to her. This past year, we buried a lady in Cincinnati, and I went to see her one last time before she died. And I was surprised that, not that she was longing for heaven as she was, but I was surprised at what terms she saw heaven. What she said was, my husband will be there. He had died of cancer a few years before. And then I'll see my mother and my father. She spoke of heaven entirely in, I thought at the moment, in natural terms. But if they were as they were, all united in Christ, in the faith and the sacraments, the mystical body, that is perfectly true. It is a theological truth and a deep comfort for those who mourn. Do you see why the gospel is such a help to us? I mean, the gospel meditated as we carry it around in our pockets each day, our Lord's life, our Lady's life, that which should be our dearest and our daily companion, the rosary. Do you see how that works in? That's the meaning, that the rosary does solve all problems. We're human. when misfortune comes with its changes and with its loss, our Lord can seem to be very distant. As we picture him at the ascension, he's going up and up, and then all of a sudden there's a cloud which carries him to heaven's temple, and we see him no more. Or as a child, he doesn't say a word to his parents, he's just gone. Or our Lord, who had so many words for his apostles to explain everything again and again, as any parent would or teacher, and then when he goes, they didn't understand it, not a bit of it, those terrible 3 days and 3 days. Our Lord has promised us his peace, but what about the challenges and even the chastisements that come right now? I mean, inevitably there's going to be some pain which will not subside. Even thinking about the big situation outside of your own life or family, I mean, situation in the church and in the world. That's when we need to keep today's Mass in mind. It's one of those beautiful Holy Face Masses we have really throughout the year in our Missal. I'm seeking thy face, O Lord. But are you finding our Lord's face? Yes. Our Lord presses his face very close to yours in deep love and friendship. Well, how must you see him? The way the little flower did. That is to say, disfigured, as it were, the face of a leper, the blood and the sweat and the spittle upon it. Has our Lord abandoned us? He's right down with us and suffering with us. And by divine faith we know, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. Some days, it is true, you will feel abandoned. You'll feel some sense of terrible, paralyzing fear, or that kind of a sharp pain come back to you from years before, from some terrible suffering, from some heavy loss. The other day, I was just reading about some outrageous thing that's going on in England today in our public schools, and our public schools are not far behind. And there was a Protestant minister who was involved with this school on the board of, it's called the Board of Governors, and he was objecting to it. There's an obligatory brainwashing session that all the teachers and then all the students must go through this trans training. And there's a new vocabulary that is imposed on them and how they must deny reality and embrace all of them, perversion. And then that got me thinking, that's going on. Even sometimes our own families who mistakenly have children in public schools, they're facing that. Right now, what's going to become of them? And then the church, her voice has been silent for 60 years under the invasion, the infiltration of the modernists. We have no visible hierarchy. It would be easy to feel abandoned, and most people do, at times at least. But our Lord's promise remains. The gates of hell have not prevailed. Were the church ever to teach or give error, the gates of hell would prevail. But that cannot be, and we cling to that in the sometimes darkness of faith. The church is there. She's eclipsed, but she is there. You stumble and fall because there is no light, but the church is there, and with the church is Christ. By the power of his own spirit, remember God the Holy Ghost is invisible, whom we solemnly invoke these days of the novena. If you're struggling right now, and you know, really, who isn't struggling right now? Our Lady and our Lord, ask our Lord to send from his own sacred heart his spirit for whatever it is that you need. That's what we're praying for during that Veni Creator, during these days of the Pentecost Novena, some of you need to be healed, and others need peace of heart or good counsel. And we all need a good dose of that kind of St. Peter fortitude that keeps us going regardless. Oh, and it wouldn't hurt to have a little bit of joy sometimes, and it's okay to let it show. Separation need not bespeak sadness, at least for the long term. This is one of the secrets of Holy Face devotion. As we keep another Holy Face Sunday, the introit really does set the tone for things insistently. We're seeking the face of God, and he's not over there someplace that you might get to if you pray enough one day, or whatever it is that drives you to your knees in prayer makes you see his face. Our Lord is that close to you, to your thoughts, and he listens to you. What we have to do is to remind ourselves of that truth. And the sorrows that are written on his face are on yours and on your heart as well. So that's just the practice of the presence of God, never to be too far from that. Today in spirit, we go to one of Rome's old churches for what's called the Stational Church. It's Our Lady of the Martyrs, it's called, the ancient Pantheon, one of the great wonders of the world. During the Middle Ages, the Holy Face was kept there in a coffer locked with 13 keys. That's how preciously it was guarded during the so-called Dark Ages of invasions. Later on, it was enshrined in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. Dante calls the Holy Face of our Lord Il Nostra Veronica, our true image of our Lord. Look at his face, meditate it. When tears well up, as well they might, when the world tells you, give up, settle, surrender, just stay home, don't try anymore. Go along to get along, it's about time, isn't it? Thy face, O Lord, I will seek. And the beauty of it is you don't have to seek very long or go very far. Our best antidote to anxiety available. Each one of our devotions, Holy Mass, Blessed Sacrament, Our Lady, the Rosary, all of this takes us into the presence of God. Your daily life takes you into the presence of suffering and sorrow and of doubt. And you put them together and you remember again, we are not alone. He hasn't left us. And we are here seeking his holy face. Now, if there's one more word to be said, and a brief one at that, it is how encouraged we should be in our lives, especially today, at how many people quite unexpectedly, are seeking our Lord's face and are finding it. Father Cicada and I both receive so many emails in the course, sometimes of a day or of a week. It's hard to catch up with everybody. And many times from young people and throughout the world who have, as they say, read themselves into an understanding of what is really going on in the church and in the world, who seek to convert, and all around the world, people are listening to the web mass that is available to them. In my recent confirmation tour, I saw and met for the first time so many fine young families in Dallas or Pensacola, Florida, innocent faces as yesterday, signed with the Holy Chrism, the sign of the cross and the seal of the Holy Ghost. We are not alone. Almighty God is doing this beautiful work. Yesterday, there was a priest ordained in Italy, a French priest, and the French priest that was ordained a year ago, well, he's doing a magnificent work in Quebec, Canada, with the French speaking up there, and also into Ontario. And Father Palma, who's visited here a few times at least over the years, why he's become the master of long distance catechism and convert classes throughout the world by means of Skype. And there are new chapels starting, the new priests being ordained, instructions being given, and converts coming to us all of the time, which would encourage you in your presence here and the sacrifices that you've made all of these years. There's this one great story. There's a man who's a converted Hindu, and he's going to be confirmed on Saturday, the Vigil of Pentecost. And he's an Indian, an IT man, I think has a very, very important and responsible position that makes him travel quite a bit. And he was converted, you might say, the old way. He was a pagan. He was going to university in England, and as is traditional when your college years are on, he spent his time when he wasn't studying or working, carousing with his friends. And one day, he was a pagan, he was a Hindu. He got tired of it in England. He popped into a little church like this one. It could very well, they say, have been a traditional church. He didn't know at the time he was a pagan. And he sat there and started thinking about his life and where he was going. And the priest saw him, got talking to him, and at the end of their conversation, he gave him a rosary and a leaflet, how to pray the rosary and how to make the stations. And for 2 years, as a pagan, he prayed the rosary and he made the stations. And then he was working in Cincinnati. He got himself baptized in the Novus Ordo, but he realized that couldn't be the truth. And he did more reading, came across Father Chicada's writings, came to see us, and now understands and will receive the valid confirmation on Saturday. That's one example, and there are many, Father McGuire can tell you, of the rosary miracles still going on today. There's always somebody who is seeking our Lord's face. And when you seek him, all you have to do is open your eyes to see him and to realize he sought you first. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.